Let's return to the paper mill. As we've seen, it was to be the savior of Grand Rapids, as the trees that made up its original economic base were just about gone, and the new plant would bring in jobs and pay taxes and all kinds of other financial benefits. So it was extremely important in Grand Rapids and looked upon with great high hopes. Despite its very auspicious beginning, though, the first years of operation of the Grand Rapids paper mill between 1902 and 1916 were by no means a resounding success. Well, we could say it was a success, but not the resounding success that had been hoped for. At any rate, the premise for the feasibility of manufacturing paper in Grand Rapids had been carefully analyzed and was sound. All indications were that sufficient water power was available, and the investors had received permission to develop it. Adequate quantities of spruce for pulpwood grew in the region. In the Kaukauna Times, remember that that's the corporate headquarters for the paper company now, in the Kaukauna Times, well-posted papermen considered financial prospects for the mill to be first class. And also, the decision to manufacture only newsprint was viable. Newsprint already at that point constituted the largest market of the papermaking industry, and the future looked bright. The earliest newspapers were printed on quality rag paper that made them expensive, prohibiting mass circulation. The Grand Rapids mill could produce 20 to 25 tons of newsprint per day in 1902. Going to be dealing with some numbers and figures here. I'll keep them at a minimum, but we really need them to get some perspective. But this is one to kind of lodge in mind because we'll be making reference to it again and again in succeeding programs. 20 to 25 tons of newsprint per day. If we go back just 30 years from that, when the new wood fiber papermaking technology was just beginning to be realized, in the whole of the United States, there was manufactured only 130 tons of newsprint per day. So yeah, just 30 years early, just a tiny fraction of what was coming. Increased production had been made possible by the Ford-Rainier papermaking machines that were ideally suited for making wood fiber newsprint. The machines were continually improved and modified to increase both the width of the sheet and the speed of manufacture. In 1870, 60 to 80 feet per minute was considered a good speed, and many of the paper machine engineers thought that would be their top speed. But by 1900, there were machines that were operating at up to 500 feet per minute, so just a huge increase in the speed. And so production of newsprint had expanded very, very greatly. When Grand Rapids paper production began in 1902, about 700 Ford-Rainier machines were operating in the United States. And even so, the mills were hard-pressed to meet the increasing need for newsprint. Population increase played a part in the growing demand for newspapers, and so did a widespread system of free education. Literacy was up, and there was more interest in public affairs. The active involvement of the United States and the international scene, beginning with the Spanish-American War in 1898, especially stimulated the market. Reading a daily paper was becoming a habit for many in America's cities, and readership of weekly papers was also expanding. A few more figures here. In 1870, circulation for all United States daily newspapers was approximately 3 million, and for weekly papers, about 11 million. By 1900, the figures for the dailies was up from 3 million to 15 million, and for the weeklies, from 11 million to 43 million. So that certainly illustrates the huge demand that there is for newsprint. And in addition, papers were being printed with more pages per edition. And when advertisers discovered the advantages of newspaper publicity, they wanted even more space. One New York paper alone used about 110 tons of newsprint daily. That certainly dwarfs the 20 to 25 tons made in Grand Rapids. American newsprint mills were concentrated in the northeastern states where the large cities used the most paper. But gradually, production spread to other parts of the country, primarily to the Midwest and Northwest, where trees and water power were plentiful. Wisconsin particularly benefited from the westward expansion. There were 16 mills making newsprint in Wisconsin in 1900. But Minnesota was far behind that in paper production, and when the Grand Rapids Water Power and Boom Company developed its mill, only two other paper companies operated in the state. One of those was in Minneapolis, and it then expanded its base to include Little Falls. And there was much optimism that Little Falls was going to expand greatly and would supply all of the newsprint that could be used in the state of Minnesota. That did not happen, however. And in 1900, just before the Grand Rapids mill began production, they were only making 17 tons of paper per day. The anticipated large-scale production there had not materialized. The other paper company in Minnesota was the Northwest Paper Company at Cloquet, and that was built as part of the Weyerhaeuser lumber operations. And they weren't too impressed with the mill in the beginning. It seemed quite small in comparison to all of the timber resources that were being used by that company. But nonetheless, they were producing 40 tons of newsprint per day by 1900. But still, with the growing newsprint market and a largely undeveloped Minnesota paper industry, the mill in Grand Rapids certainly seemed to have its excellent prospects. Well, now we've got to look at some other factors here. Though the market for newsprint was strong at the turn of the century, the industry had been highly competitive for years. The price of newsprint had, from the time of the first use of wood fiber as a major ingredient, varied considerably. In the 1870s, when demand first increased, newsprint manufacturers responded by overproducing, pushing prices down. In 1878, the producers formed the American Papermakers Association in an attempt to stabilize prices. The association adopted a resolution calling on manufacturers to temporarily reduce their output, but many did not do so, and the competition continued. When still greater demand for newsprint occurred in 1879, a short boom ensued and prices almost doubled. Then, to counter resulting higher newspaper prices, and this is an ominous development, U.S. congressmen introduced bills that would lower or remove import duties on newsprint. Newsprint manufacturers found themselves at a particular disadvantage. Their very customers, the newspaper publishers, were in an excellent position to support legislation designed to reduce the price of paper. When the New York Times, for example, strongly favored pending newsprint bills, few members of Congress remained immune to its pressure. The newsprint manufacturers realized that they faced a formidable opponent, undoubtedly to be heard from in the future. At any rate, high newsprint prices did not prevail. Demand was high, but the faster Fourdrinier machines, the development of new mills, and the expansion of existing ones again led to overproduction. Prices declined to unprofitable levels, and only during the mid-1890s did the price begin to rise again. Finally, in 1898, 19 paper and pulp companies in New England merged to form the International Paper Company. And this company is going to enter very large into our continuing discussions here, the International Paper Company. After much persuasion, planning, and effort, the necessary contract signatures were secured. The result was a new corporation controlling about three-fourths of United States newsprint production, a swing back to a seller's market, plus the price control of the giant new company, resulted in higher profits at the very time the mill was built in Grand Rapids. In summation, the situation for new mills was favorable in the early 1900s, but there was no guarantee that newsprint would not again be subject to what one historian has called the print paper pendulum. Moreover, if prices continued to rise, the newspaper publisher certainly would launch a full-scale counterattack on paper manufacturers. Using that word ominous again, one Metropolitan Daily, referring to higher costs for publishers, stated that papermakers were conspiring to levy a tribute on education and to blackmail intelligence itself. But despite all of this, the Wisconsin owners of the Grand Rapids Water Power and Boom Company exuded nothing but confidence in the future of the new mill. Well, next time we'll continue this story.